whatever it is. It's afternoon, right? Sorry, you do American Journal for 5 years, you get used to saying morning. No, it's the afternoon. It's the evening time for some of you fine folks. Welcome to the War Room. We got a lot to talk about today. Let's not waste any time. Get right into it. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. Here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 7th of April, 2026. Donald Trump, quote, calls for nuclear strike as demands grow for removal from office. That's a story from mirror.co.uk. Trump's threat to wipe out a, quote, whole civilization in Iran has sparked calls for him to be removed from office, with one former White House director demanding the ouster take place immediately. Wake up, he's calling for a nuclear strike, said Anthony Scaramucci, who served in Trump's first administration in July 2017. Seek his removal immediately, the former communications director added. And of course, that's the interpretation being arrived at by a lot of people looking at this. Tucker Carlson did a very powerful monologue about this yesterday. The first 40 minutes of his show is absolutely bombshell. And yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what other conclusion you could come to. I guess there are other weapons that we haven't yet deployed. But it sounds like he's talking about unconventional weapons, which means nukes. I don't know how else you eliminate an entire civilization overnight. I also don't think you can eliminate a civilization with nuclear weapons. So I guess we'll wait and see. I guess we'll wait and see if the promised genocide arrives. Iran calls for human change to protect nuclear power plants, or power plants and all power plants, as Trump's deadline nears. Airstrikes pounded Tehran on Tuesday, and Iranian officials urged young people to form human change to protect power plants hours before the expiration of U.S. President Donald Trump's latest deadline for the Islamic Republic to open the crucial Strait of Hormuz or face punishing strikes on its infrastructure. And this is happening, and there's videos coming out showing Iranians standing on bridges or forming human chains around power plants. I don't think it's going to work, though. I don't think that the people doing this care about that, actually. I understand Iran is trying to deal with this as if, you know, the same rules that governed humanity for all of our existence are still in play, but they're not. So you got to come to terms with that reality. They will literally just kill all of you and not care a single bit. They've been doing it for the last month. So it's sad, but I mean, we talked about this all the way back at the beginning of the Israel genocide of Gaza, when the soldier lit himself on fire, and how, yeah, in the old days, you know, you'd see somebody light themselves on fire in protest of a war, and like the war would actually end. It actually happened in Vietnam. There was like a ceasefire, and they're like, okay, all right, if a Buddhist monk is willing to burn themselves alive, I think we've gone off the rails and we need to totally recalibrate what's going on here. And they actually, like, it would actually lead to peace talks or something. Now it's like, yeah, he burned himself alive and, you know, oh well, he must have been crazy, moving on, right? So just done, really. Just none of this matters anymore. Karg Island, U.S. has struck Iranian military targets. According to CNN, the U.S. said it struck military targets on the key Iranian oil export hub of Karg Island, although the strikes did not target oil facilities, according to one U.S. official. Vice President J.D. Vance acknowledged the recent U.S. strikes on Karg Island, but said they did not mark a change in strategy ahead of Donald Trump's 8 p.m. Tuesday night deadline for Iran to open the Strait of Hormuz. And finally, next, no data centers. A note was left behind after shots were fired into an Indianapolis official's home, he says. An Indianapolis official who voted in favor of a controversial data center fears his home was riddled by gunfire in retaliation for his vote. Indianapolis police officers confirm they were called to a house where shots were fired. Finally, GOP lawmaker Mike Lawler attempts to resurrect an amnesty plan because why not? Yeah, shoot us in the gut now that we're down.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. I love it.
This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I mean, this is just bonker town. I know. I love it. I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I just can't shut up about it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. We could be 4 hours away from the cataclysm, whatever apocalyptic show Trump has for us, as he basically says he's going to eliminate an entire civilization if Iran doesn't open the Strait of Hormuz, which I don't know if you need to be reminded about this. It was open. It was open to about a month ago. No problem at all. Not an issue whatsoever. Now, an existential crisis. Why? Because Donald Trump made the worst decision anybody's ever made, as I started calling it, all the way back on March 1st or whenever it was that we were live again following the outbreak of this just monumentally stupid decision that is destroying the world. In a very real way. Not all of the world, right? Our enemies are doing fine. They're actually benefiting from this. But, you know, all the things that we thought we elected Trump to push back on and defeat is instead being given to us in greater helpings than ever before. And we'll sort of go over how we got here. But it truly is insane. And that's the only word for it. From Washington Post, with threat to destroy Iran's civilization, Trump fuels war crime fears. That's what he's promising. He's promising the total destruction of a civilization. That's just evil. I just don't know what else to tell you about it. I mean, that's the thing about kind of like all the stories today. It's just like, I can tell you about what they're doing. We just have to stop it. Like, that's just where we're at this point. Of course, we told you this before we ever went into war with Iran. And it's like, the people don't want it. Wouldn't be good for us. Wouldn't benefit America in any way. Obviously, our entire political motivation at this point is almost entirely resting on the multiple decades of failure that the previous Middle East wars brought about. But it doesn't matter. They're just going to do it anyway. Because if you watch history, if you pay attention to history, this is how it always goes. This is always the case. Before World War I, nobody in America wanted to get in. We got in. World War II, nobody wanted to get in. So we did the false flag at Pearl Harbor. Got everybody on board pretty quick. This is just what happens. People in power send you to war. And then convince you it was your idea the whole time. And then when the blowback comes, or the depression arrives, or whatever negative consequence inevitably comes about at the end of the war, blame it on you. You deserve it. You went to war after all. So we're literally now being told that it's okay that we do it to Iran because we did it to Japan. Yeah, I don't know what else to I don't know what more there is to say at this point, other than they're just doing it, and they're doing it on every level, as in this is the COVID 2.0 fuel lockdown. This is the beginning of the Mark of the Beast system all around the world. All of the systems are being put into place, from digital ID in UK and all over Europe to the introduction of essentially digital currency in Mexico, to the building of all of the data centers that will serve as the infrastructure for the digital prison planet, total universal digital surveillance panopticon. They're just doing it. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. And I've shown you the videos before. Maybe we can like make a compilation or something we can have on hand, because everywhere European, Western, American leaders go, they are despised and attacked by their own people. And it's pretty much ubiquitous. I have video of the Prime Minister of England and Australia and Ireland and just literally everywhere, our democracies, everywhere that claims, you know, democratic legitimacy as their government, are all desperately trying to keep a lid on their populations, who all universally, on average, want to kill them. So it's kind of tough. It's kind of a tough situation we're in, because they're putting us in an impossible situation where it doesn't matter how you vote. It doesn't matter what the people want. They're just doing it. They're just destroying everything on purpose, by design, and in a very sophisticated way. I mean, look at the story from the Daily Dispatch. No data centers note left behind after shots were fired into an Indianapolis official's home. And it's like, how many videos have we shown? And I've got more today. I can show you at least five videos of the same situation happening, in which you have cities, townships, whatever, where a data center is about to be built. You have a public meeting about whether or not to build the data center. And the meeting is packed to the brim with opposition. Everybody in town is saying no. And in every one of these instances, it gets passed anyway. What are you supposed to do? Honestly, what are you supposed to do? You tell me what you're supposed to do. When a data center comes into your town, and we've already seen the unbelievable negative consequences of these things, and it's really just like, it's the negatives are innumerable. The negatives are like, they take all of your water, it drives up your energy prices, it's so loud you can't sleep at night, it destroys your property value of everywhere within a couple miles, it's gobbling up gigantic amounts of property and farmland. Like, the negatives are endless, innumerable, continuous, and there are no positives for the average American. What is the positive? Okay, so you've got these things that are 100% an expensive burden on the people whose lives are fine without it. The people are not clamoring, going, oh my God, if only we had slightly faster AI. Like, I don't even know what the argument is. What even would be the benefit of one of these things? So what are the American people supposed to do when they can all come together, 99% of them agree, this is not what we want, it's going to cost us money, it's going to make our lives worse, and then the government just does it anyway? What are you supposed to do? If you can come up with a better answer, because I don't have one. So I don't know. I don't know where this goes from here, but clearly it's getting to a breaking point. Like, it's getting to the point of no return. It's getting to the point beyond which it doesn't even matter what you try to do. It will have reached critical mass and everything will be on inevitable downslope forever. And the only hope will be maybe you can separate and try to start some breakaway civilization of your own. Like, why? Why are we allowing this to happen? Again, we'll get into all of it, but Drew Hernandez, I thought, laid it out pretty well. Here's the tweet from Trump first, with Dissident West expressing a similar thing to Drew Hernandez. But Donald Trump said this morning, a whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back, never to be brought back again. I don't want that to happen, but it probably will. However, now that we have complete and total regime change and different, smarter, less radical minds prevail, maybe something revolutionarily wonderful can happen. Who knows? We will find out tonight, one of the most important moments in the long and complex history of the world. 47 years of extortion, corruption, and death will finally end. God bless the great people of Iran. That he's about to kill all of them? Like, what is he talking about? Iran is clearly not responding to this in a positive way. They have completely cut off all communication channels and are now, I guess, desperately trying to appeal to good sentiments of the world by, you know, having innocent civilians surround the power plants. And I saw some people online saying, you know, okay, it's evil to strike civilians, but it's also evil to use civilians as human shields. That's not really what's happening. In all likelihood, if these attacks go off, these people are going to die anyway. That's the point. The point is that by attacking civilian infrastructure, destroying the electricity generation of an entire country, you are killing those people. What's going to happen when you bomb these, when you bomb all of their bridges and all of their power plant? Like, they're going to die. Well, what else could possibly happen? Maybe not right now, but how long can they last? So it's not like, oh, you know, put them in front of the power plant, they'll die when the power plant blows up. They'll die when the power plant blows up, either right when it blows up, if they're standing right there, or weeks later. And I mean, people die. It's like, it's, you know, obviously the downstream effects, not having internet, not having communications. Obviously, crime could run rampant. Can't even call the cops. They don't even know how to get to you. Obviously, I mean, it's just any number of ways that cutting off the electricity to a country is devastating in the long run. In the short run, babies on incubators die. Anybody in a hospital, you know, needing machines to stay alive, they all die. And the purpose of this is demanding that Iran open the straits that were open a month ago before we bombed them in the middle of negotiations where they had promised to give up all of their uranium that we are now demanding that they give up. I mean, this is ridiculous. And honestly, kind of the most shocking and like insane thing about it is the way the rest of the world's just letting it happen. It's crazy. Oh, why are they just letting this happen? Am I missing something here? Do other countries not have a responsibility? Maybe step in and prevent a nuclear holocaust from taking place? Have they not watched for the last 2.5 years as Gaza has been systematically destroyed, as Syria has been overthrown by literal terrorists and the pogroms started? I don't know, man. At a certain point, somebody's got to step up and do something. And nobody's doing anything. So I don't know how this faction has literally everyone in the world terrified to step up and do something about it. But it's sickening, to be honest with you. And beyond just the moral outrage that this represents and just the total succumbing to evil that this really does represent, it's really just a slap in the face to Americans, because we get nothing. We get nothing. We are being screwed endlessly. The Republicans now have just put forward an amnesty bill. So, I mean, this is what I mean. It's like you got all these people, they're just like, How dare you say you're not going to vote for the Republicans? Don't you know how bad the Democrats are? The Republicans are literally worse. One of the worst possible things that could arrive as a consequence of the Democrats taking power in the midterms is that they pass amnesty. Republicans are doing it for them. They're doing it for them. So as Dissident West notes, Donald Trump can unilaterally decide to wipe out an entire nation. But if a female judge in Vermont tells him he can't deport anybody, there's nothing he can do about it. Clown world. Total clown world. What is this? We can go to war in Iran, does absolutely nothing for us, benefits us not in the slightest. only hurts us overall and obviously is just mass murder. And nothing in our system can prevent that. No, can a judge issue an injunction, please, for the love of God? I mean, they'll issue injunctions about literally everything. You try to send a serial rapist back to his home, and they will just, like, flip out and stop you from doing that. You want to eradicate an entire civilization. Nobody can say anything. Nobody can do anything about it. The system is unnecessary. Like, what even is this? I've said a million times, it would be a completely different story if Trump showed an iota of care or willingness to break the rules to help the American people. Won't even try. I mean, you can imagine. You can take the same sort of attitude that he has with Iran or Venezuela, where it's just like, yeah, do it first, ask permission later. It's like, okay, just what if he had that same attitude about America? Just what if? Probably could have saved the country. Probably could have been a hero. Probably could have saved the entire world. He's going, yeah, we're getting him out of here. We're rounding him up. It's just how it is. I'm deploying the 82nd Airborne to Minneapolis, and we're going to get every single illegal alien out, and we've got 2 weeks to do it. And we'll drop a bomb on him if we don't. I just, you know, just a modicum, the same type of energy, the same level of energy. Again, I don't know. Like, there is no argument against what I'm saying. I'm literally just laying out the facts. Like, you can't tell me they're like, well, no, he was trying. No, he's not trying. He's not trying to do anything. He's not willing to even bend the rule. He's not willing to test the limits of a rule. He apparently is totally powerless to do absolutely anything to help us at all in any way. It's only Israel. It's only the Jewish diaspora. Then they can do anything. And this has been exhausting talking about this for a year straight, because it's been over a year that this has been the case. It was probably around April last year. I made a video where I talked about Donald Trump's six-pointed star-shaped asterisk on everything that he did. Now it's a President Monkey Paw, but it's the same idea. Is that it seems like he's doing something good for the American people, but it's actually only exclusively good for Jews every single time. It's crazy, but this is the case. Talk about getting rid of the Harvard president. Oh, it's an attack against DEI, except she's replaced by somebody that is more dedicated to DEI than Claudine Gay, the previous president, was, only he's a Zionist Jew. Do we not get this? Do we not understand this? We can't deport a single wife-beating criminal, Kilmar Abrego Garcia, but they're systematically driving around, scooping up critics of Palestine, critics of Israel, Palestinian activists, whatever, and throwing them into vans and sending them home. How much longer are we going to take this is the question. That's all we're doing, is just taking it. They're abusing us, and we're just taking it. How much longer, honestly? Mike Lawler, a Republican, has now put forward an amnesty bill. Okay? So you tell me we just got to vote Republican next time? So it'll be a Republican-flavored amnesty bill rather than a Democrat-flavored amnesty bill? So that the Republicans can start the war? So the Democrats can open up the borders and bring in all the refugees from that war? When are we going to break out of this? What are we going to do? So I keep suggesting things, and everybody around me shoots it down. And it's like, I don't believe that nothing is possible. I just don't. I think that really anything could be done right now, and it'd be better than nothing. Drew Hernandez puts it this way. I wish Trump brought this heat he has against Iran, against our own deep state here in America. We can bomb civilian infrastructure in Iran, but we can't even arrest a single rogue judge here in America. Not a single deep state imprisonment, not even the Insurrection Act. Well, it'd be too unpopular. I mean, sure, the Iran war has tanked his popularity to the lowest it's ever been, but that's for Israel, so it's fine. The Israelis will make it up to him somehow. So, I mean, you know. I don't know. I guess I got to open up your for calls or something. Because I really just feel, I mean, I've been saying the exact same thing for a year. The exact same thing. Just like, gee, I wish Trump would show some of the willingness to do for America what he does for Israel for a year. It's been this way. And it hasn't changed at all. And it's actually just getting worse. So I can just keep saying that over and over again and call in and people can come up with other ideas of solutions here. And it's like today I tweeted again. It's funny every time I tweet that Israel must be destroyed. There's a whole bunch of people that have never heard me say it before. And they're like, oh my God, finally you're going there. And it's like, yes. And somebody else said, you know, it's like, oh, you know, hope you bring this energy to war room as if I'm like, Israel must be destroyed. Ah! I'm Michael from The Godfather. It's not personal. It's strictly business. I'm just laying out the facts. No, Israel must be destroyed for the sake of America, for the sake of the world. Israel and its entire mindset, what informs its politics, it all has to be destroyed in a way that it can never come back again. Okay, we did this to the Nazis. We have to do it to Israel. Even I say that, and people are like, so you're saying that it was good what happened to the Nazis? And it's like, did the Nazis get destroyed? Do I need to walk you through this? The Nazis were destroyed. Why? Because they carried out a genocide, because they were insane warmongers, because they did all of the things that we are now actively doing. So yes, it has to be destroyed in exactly the same way. There has to be an international court. They have to present evidence of what Israel did. They have to convict them, and then they have to hang them by the neck until dead. And then you have to have people go into that country, completely eradicate their entire education system, and create a new one that pounds in, hammers in over and over and over again. One idea. Never to return to the way that they were before. Why do you think even now, 80 years after the Holocaust, Germans are still propagandized, still like endlessly brainwashed with the idea that the worst thing in the entire world is for them to have a national identity or to have interests that they pursue collectively? That's what needs to happen to Israel. I'm not angry when I'm saying it. Is the doctor angry when he prescribes you medicine? No, it's just like, this is just what's had. This is just the disease that we have. Here's how we solve it, okay? This is how it is. You have diabetes, you stop eating sugar. You're a slave to Israel, Israel must be destroyed. It's very simple.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts, how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15-20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. And I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our ultra methylene blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two, the same formula but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. I'm going to go to clip number 25 here as more people are looking into the events over the weekend. It's becoming abundantly clear that what was happening was not a rescue mission. It was an attempt to do some sort of create some sort of staging ground for an attack on the nuclear facility in Isfahan. Nothing else really makes much sense when you look at all of it together. And you've got two competing stories, one that aligns with the evidence and one that doesn't. The one that aligns with the evidence is the one that Iran is telling. The one that does not align with the evidence is the one that the American leadership is telling us. And again, this is nothing new. Seen this over and over in my lifetime. Stories of Jessica Lynch and Pat Tillman, where the reality was embarrassing, so it was hidden for years, not discovered until investigative reporters uncovered the truth years later. Let's go to, clip number five, clip 33 here. We're going to go clip 33. This is a former CIA operative, Larry Johnson, explaining how the downed airplanes pretty much proof that this was not a rescue mission at all. Let's watch.
Every American needs to watch this clip.
The story we've been given, it's a lie on several fronts. the what that F-15 was doing up in that area, that what was its mission. I think it was involved in preparation for a ground attack on the Natanz nuclear reactor. And the when the plane went down, the number of assets that one of the pilots was picked up immediately, but the other one, they couldn't find him. There's now information online, which I've been assured is accurate, that this pilot was he apparently hit the ground 5 miles north and west of the point where he was rescued, and he basically did escape and evasion to get to the top of that mountain to be exfiled. Now here's where it really gets strange. It doesn't, you know, the explanations don't make sense. At that site, there were two C-130 aircraft. Those are fixed-wing aircraft with four propellers. The Joint Special Operations Command, JSOC, they have a special version of that plane, which is sort of souped up. And then there are also four MH-6 Little Birds. Now, these are small helicopters. If anybody has ever seen the movie Black Hawk Down, those little helicopters that come in to try to rescue the people that crashed in the Black Hawk, that's a Little Bird. Or the Little Birds that run strafing rounds. They can carry, I think, a maximum of four special operations forces, either Delta Force or SEAL Team 6, one of the two. But here's the key point. They only have a combat range of about 300 miles. Now, if you fly from Kuwait to this location in Isfahan, that's 250 miles. How the hell do you get back from there? Well, that explains why at least one of those C-130s was on the ground. They can carry a fuel bladder of gasoline, that or aviation fuel. They can refuel these aircraft. But it's not clear if the other C-130 was there as well on that mission. It said that both got stuck in the sand, but some of the pictures that have come out and some of the video at least appears to show one of those in flame crashing into the desert. So I don't think we have an accurate count. What we do know is that in addition to losing the F-15, we lost an additional two Black Hawk helicopters. They're called Pave Hawks. We lost at least, you know, got the two C-130s that were gone. Now we've got an additional four MH-6 Little Birds, and I think the reason they left them there, they didn't have enough fuel to get them back to safety. An A-10 Warthog went down, fixed-wing aircraft. So when you total it up, you're looking at about $400 million worth of aircraft that got shot down yesterday, just ostensibly to save one person. And, you know, can't emphasize enough that this may very well have been in preparation. If this hadn't all fallen apart on Friday, during Friday, it's very likely we might have seen troops on the ground already trying to conduct a special operation against the nuclear facility at Natanz.
So, yeah, I think everything is right about Trump. Just told Fox News he's in heated negotiations with Iran just hours before his 8 p.m. death. Look. Does anybody believe him? Does anybody? You know, raise your hands. You believe Donald Trump? I mean, do we believe him? That's good news, because that means that he's probably not going to do anything. But they're not talking to Iran. Iran's not talking to them. Everything I've seen out of Iran says they shut down indirect or direct channels and are not talking to Trump. But I guess this is the gamble that you make when you try to threaten people, try to bluff people, right? It's like you make this big threat, you make this big claim, and if they aren't scared by it and don't kowtow to it, and you never actually were planning on following through with it, then you got to pretend that they did give in, I guess. So I don't know. Sounds like Trump is getting kind of cold feet and is going to pretend that it came to some sort of conclusion. I don't know. I don't believe him personally. Be shocked if that was true. But that is good news that he seems to be laying the groundwork for a backing off of his threat. He does this over and over. Meanwhile, the IDF regrets the collateral damage to the synagogue in Tehran after a strike it claimed targeted an Iranian commander, according to comments of the Times of Israel. Footage shows extensive damage to the Rafi Naya synagogue following the strike. The IDF insisted it took steps to minimize the risk of harm to civilians, including the use of precision munitions and aerial surveillance, but they did bomb a synagogue in Iran yesterday. So obviously, Israel is an existential threat to the Jewish people and must be eliminated. We must destroy Israel to save the Jews, obviously. And there's interviews with some of the attendees of those synagogue, Jewish Iranians who talk about the fact that their community has been there for 2,500 years and that they love living in Iran and that they've experienced no negative consequences of being Jewish in Iran. But it doesn't. But none of this matters because they're doing it anyway. And of course, as soon as Iran gets taken out, it'll be Turkey next. They're already laying the groundwork. Turkey becoming a Middle East adversary to the West. Is Turkey the new Iran? Ankara's growing challenge to Western interest. So, I'm sure all of the people that, you know, called me an insane idiot for saying Turkey's next, I'm sure they're all apologizing and realizing just how right I always was. I'll hold my breath for that. New reporting from the New York Times reveals how Trump decided to go to war with Iran after a closed-door Israeli pitch meeting and despite deep internal divisions inside his own team. At a secret February 11th Situation Room meeting, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu presented a four-part pitch for regime change, including a video montage of potential replacement leaders such as Reza Pahlavi. J.D. Vance was absent. He was stuck in Azerbaijan. Appearing alongside Mossad chief David Barnea and military officials, Netanyahu argued Iran's ballistic missile program could be destroyed in weeks. The regime would be too weak to close the Strait of Hormuz. Street protests fomented with Mossad help could trigger an uprising. Kurdish fighters from Iraq could use could open a ground front in the northwest. Trump's response sounds good to me. Sounds good. I mean, it's all fake. It's all wrong. It's all a total lie. And this is why I don't even necessarily, I agree with the Fifth Amendment thing, 25th Amendment thing, because I agree that Trump is literally a danger to the world at this point and needs to be removed. But he's not insane. It's Israel. Okay? Israel is insane, but not in an out of control madman sort of way, in a supervillain sort of evil way. It's Israel. It's Israel's connections to people in America. It's not insanity that is driving Trump to do this. It's the Israelis that surround him. It's the Israelis and the Israeli government. It's the Israeli spies feeding him false information. It's the Israeli operatives who control our media, creating a Truman world landscape where Trump is convinced from every angle of a lie that Israel wants him to believe. It's the Israeli donors that control him. It's AIPAC and, you know, creating strife and controversy for Thomas Massie and all these others. It's Israel. It's all Israel. That's the problem. So the 25th Amendment might be an expedient way to stop the disaster that's coming. You understand, like, you understand China exists. You understand Russia exists. You understand that already now what we've done, I think, is it's an act of like mercy and humanitarianism that the same attacks that we're waging on other people are not being visited on us. I'm not so sure about nuclear weapons. I mean, I don't know. If you were Russia, would you sit idly by while this happened? I wouldn't. And it could get really messy really fast. And it seems to be the point of all of this. So it's Israel. So it's not about the 25th Amendment. our country has been infiltrated and taken over by a foreign power. The only solution now is to brutally and thoroughly extricate that power from our government. It's the only solution. I have no faith whatsoever that the other people in government would do anything about this. I mean, the Congress right now could step in. Regardless of whatever nuanced rhetorical quibble you want to get into, threatening to destroy an entire civilization forever is clearly an act of war. Like, I'm sorry for cursing, but like, what are we doing? It's not a war, but you're going to eliminate an entire civilization? And Congress is saying, they're going, well, he calls it a military action. So if he doesn't say it's a war, we don't have any ability to stop him. Oh, or is it that you are all also bought out by Israel and taking orders from them as well? What do we think? Congress willfully abandons its prerogative, its obligation to be the body of our government that declares war. They're allowing Trump to do this all on his own. Do you think it might have anything to do with the fact that everybody in Congress hates Trump and always has? They're letting him do this so that it will all fall on him. They're doing it through the Republican Party, so it will all fall on the Republicans. They're using America, so the backlash hits America. None of this is for our benefit. None of this helps us. All of it hurts us. Why are we allowing them to do it? They're supposed to represent us. It's supposed to be our government. Why are we allowing our government to be wholly and completely owned and controlled by foreign powers that, in their own words, are at war with us? They see us as the new Rome. They are still obsessed with the fact that they lost a fight with Rome 2,000 years ago. It's psychotic, but that's the reality. Why are they anywhere near our government? And how do you solve it when the entire Congress is bought out? The DOJ is infested with their operatives. The executive branch is clearly run by them. And anybody that tries to oppose them gets ousted or destroyed by the media, who they have a handle on. What are we supposed to do at this point? Other than just take power into our own hands? Like, what the solution? And this is why the situation feels so impossible, is because they know that. And they have so many ways that they could do things if they wanted to convince us that it was possible that we could fix this electorally. They literally just throw us the tiniest, barest bone. Just throw James Comey in prison or something. And it would do so much to, you know, stem the outrage that Americans are feeling right now. But they won't even do that. In the middle of this supposed panic about CPAC is just a complete dud, Trump is underwater with, like, his main base for the first time ever in his entire career. And in the middle of this, Trump comes out and says, we're actually only going to fund war. We're going to cut your Medicare and Medicaid. And then the Republicans put forward an amnesty bill whose name is in Spanish. They're calling it the Dignity Act. It's actually the Dignitad Act. Because, yes, in the amnesty bill, they name the amnesty bill in the Spanish language, just to really emphasize how thoroughly they are surrendering our country to foreigners. Of all stripes, I guess. Yeah, it's just where we're at. Just where we're at this point. Okay, so Israel and so the head of Israel and the head of the Mossad showed up to the White House and just promised Trump a bunch of stuff that just wasn't true. Just wasn't true. Lied to Trump to his face. The next day, U.S. intelligence pushed back sharply. CIA Director John Ratcliffe called the regime change scenario farcical, with Secretary of State General Dan Kane told the president, "This is, in my experience, standard operating procedure for the Israelis. They oversell and their plans are not always well developed." Trump dismissed regime change as their problem, but remained focused on targeting Iran's leadership and military. By February 26th, in a final Situation Room meeting, opposition inside the room was clear but fractured. Vice President J.D. Vance warned that the war could spiral and drain U.S. resources, but ultimately said, "You know, I think it's a bad idea, but I'll support you." Coward Quisling. Rubio said regime change was unrealistic, but destroying Iran's missile program was achievable. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth was the biggest proponent of war and backed immediate action. Military leadership outlined risks, including depleted munitions and a threat to Hormuz, but all stopped short of opposing the plan. Key officials responsible for managing the fallout, like Secretary of State and DNI Gabbard, were notably absent. Trump went around the table asking advisors their view and then made the call. "I think we need to do it." The strikes began 2 days later. Okay, so basically everybody mentioned should be tried for treason. This is how I feel about it. Everybody in that. Almost especially the people that knew it was a bad idea. That may have just ruined J.D. Vance's political career forever from here on out. He may have come off worse in all of this. I mean, Trump obviously comes off worse, but to be like, "I think it's a bad idea. I can see exactly how badly this is going to go, but I'll support you, President." It's like, why? What the hell's wrong with you? "Look, I can tell that everything Israel is telling you is wrong and that they are going to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. It is going to become a quagmire. We're not going to succeed in all of our missions. And by the way, it's not just that Israel lies. It's that they tell you, oh, it'll be fine. We've got this great guy set up. Just kill the leadership and this guy will slot in." And then Israel kills that guy. So it's like, you goofy idiot. It's not an excuse. Like, I can't buy the excuse of he got tricked anymore. I mean, with this story, it's pretty clear. They knew exactly what was going to happen, and they did it anyway. And every single one of these people had a chance at that moment to stop it, and they didn't. They chose not to. Not one person outside of Joe Kent has had the honor, the requisite honor to stand up against this suicidal decision, suicidal on a national level. I wonder how big of a difference it would have made if J.D. Vance had said, "President Trump, I'm resigning if you go to war with Iran." I mean, then the Israelis probably would have killed J.D. Vance, but, you know, it would have been worth a shot, would have been worth a try. He would have been Charlie Kirk, almost, you know, no doubt to that. But yeah, this whole New York Times article goes through it. How Trump took the U.S. to war with Iran. The decision by President Trump to give the go-ahead to join Israel in attacking Iran was influenced by a presentation by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in February. So, like, that's what I mean. Like, okay, Israel is our enemy. They are responsible for this war that we're in. They are responsible for the economic disaster that is looming. By the way, you know who it's not affecting? China. China's fine. China's great. China's killing it. They're not suffering even in the slightest. One reason is because they were not subject to the climate change insanity, retardation, psyop. And so they actually get their urea from coal. So they have plenty of fertilizer. Okay, it's all of our allies, Europe and Australia. They don't have fertilizer. China's got plenty of fertilizer. China's got plenty of energy. They've been building coal power plants like it's going out of style. They got plenty of coal. They got deals with Russia because of our activity in Ukraine. They've got an easy supply overland of all the natural gas or whatever else they could possibly need. Not hurting China. China is thriving during this time. Everything's going to China's desires. So it looks an awful lot like Israel, got us into this on purpose. And that everybody knew how bad it was, and everybody knew Israel was lying. But Donald Trump did it anyway. He went along with it anyway. This whole New York Times story, by the way, again, totally shatters the concept that this like went wrong, that like we're doing our best. No, literally, all of this is because of Israel. Like, I understand there's other topics, but like that's the topic. Until we extricate all of the influence of Israel from our federal government, and they're not going to do it themselves, we're just going to be, it's going to be like this forever. America's interests are not only just going to go to the wayside, they're going to be actively targeted for destruction until we deal with this problem. We're going to keep starting wars overseas until we deal with this problem. We're going to keep making enemies. We're going to keep doing things that are just feeding us directly into the pit of hell. So Israel must be destroyed. I don't know. I can't come up with another solution other than that. And we can get into some other stuff, but like this is just it. That's just where we're at. Monumentally stupid idea. Utter bullcrap. And at the same time, America, my country, has been completely invaded. Quality of life has been utterly and completely destroyed. Nothing about the last 50 years of American political development has been organic or positive for the American people, meaning that all of it has been deliberately, explicitly designed to destroy us on purpose, and it's worked. We've allowed it to happen. I'll tell the story on the other side. Anyway, it's kind of a long story, but like literally where I live is just not America anymore. I just don't live in America. I thought I did. It's been stolen from me, right out from underneath me. It's been stolen from my children. And the lives that the Western world created that went on for a millennia are being deliberately destroyed as we speak, and nobody will stand up to stop them.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old. America is 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial, that means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now at thealexhillstore.com.
I'm back because I forgot one point I want to be very clear about. This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. You've taken the info this far. Please take action now. For those of you who have been on the fence over bought anything, thealexhillstore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear. We need you. We need your support. You're the tip of the spear. Thank you so much.
If If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.